Well, today we're outside of Melbourne, continuing to tour Australia, and I have been BSing with Blinky, but today our tour guide and bus driver is Graham, so I'm going to gossip with Graham today. Graham, nice to meet you. Give me your backstory. Born and raised in Australia?
No, I wasn't born in Australia. I was born in Edinburgh in Scotland, 1958, and I lived there till I was 22. My mother and her sisters and my grandmother, in the absence of my dad, they brought me up and schooled me, and then I became a qualified engineer welder. And that was my ticket, if you like, to Australia. So I came to Australia in 1982. And what's that? That's 43 years now. Yeah.
Well, and it's very common to not be born and raised in Australia, right?
That's very true. It's very true. It's even my own family. My eldest son was born in New Zealand. His brother was born in New Zealand. I was born in Edinburgh. And my youngest son was born in Melbourne. So he's the only diehard, if you like.
Tell me a little bit about Melbourne, because it is a city of 5 million people, just huge. But it does have some growing pains. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's a traffic thing and it's population. But the big thing, the problem at the moment in Victoria is housing affordability for people. It's an incredibly difficult thing. So you have a lot of people maybe sharing houses, students. You have a lot of older people will rent all their life. They'll never afford a home because it's simply out with their means. It's impossible, you know?
Also, we saw, and you pointed out on our tour on the way out of Melbourne, is the lack of infrastructure compared to the population base that you have and the growth.
That's very true, sir. They just completed another 3 tunnels under the city, which are essential to get the trains into the city because, you know, they run down the line express and they get to the station at the city and they've got to stop because no one can get into the railway station, it's already full. Trains everywhere. So they've built what they've called loop stations, and that's going to help. But the biggest problem is people moved out many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, to the edge of the city. Bigger plots of land, bigger houses, no hospitals, no schools, no infrastructure, no public transport. So now when we drove, I think maybe you noticed this morning, we're driving out of the city and they're building a railway station in Croydon, which is 15 miles out of the city. It probably should have been built 30 years ago. Probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm only guessing, but I think it's right. You know?
You also took us today, this morning, to a wildlife sanctuary. Tell us a little bit about that and the importance of these wildlife sanctuaries in Australia.
In this current day and age, these wildlife sanctuaries are beyond value. They're beyond anything perceptible, like, oh, it's this or it's that or it's that. It's actually an essential service to make sure that some of the most extraordinary species of creature on this planet survive, because it can no longer in this country survive in the natural environment because we've actually destroyed it. So they need to go into a wildlife park to be protected and be allowed to breed, without people cutting the trees down or filling their burrows in because they want to plant crops or whatever it may be. So the importance of national parks in Australia is beyond value.
Tell us a little bit, tell the listeners a little bit about the animals that we saw today that are iconic to Australia.
Okay, well, of course, there's all the different types of kangaroos. They are they're essentially bulletproof. There's millions of them.
We also on kangaroos, actually, to farmers, they in some parts of the Australia, they consider the kangaroos to be pests.
Yes, it's maybe pest isn't the word, but it's a word we'll use. However, kangaroos will live wherever there's fresh grass, a water supply, and shade. That's all they need. People moved in, they push all this away, and try to push the creatures away, but it's their home. It's where they live, you know? So they do have controlled culls. Insurers come in and take the numbers down, etc. But it's the age-old. It's the age-old equation. People come, plant crops, build a house, cut the trees down, and push the animals away. To where? You just walked into their home and destroyed them.
And so the kangaroos, now go on with the rest of the iconic animals that we saw today, and we saw all of them, basically.
Yeah, well, as I say, every form of kangaroo, special, especially the tree kangaroos. They have breeding programs at the Yulesville Sanctuary with platypus, with the koala, wombats, Tasmanian devils, which of course are threatened enormously with these cancerous growths, this facial growth that they get, and of course echidnas. All these creatures need a hand up, because any independence they had, or any guarantees they had, without expansion, human expansion, has basically destroyed all of that. Not always intentional, but we did it.
Before you leave us, tell us a little bit. You have an interesting take on tourism and tourists coming all this way, because it's in the middle of nowhere. It is difficult to get here, no matter where you travel from. Give us your thoughts in terms of being a tourist and tourism in Australia.
Okay, I do think it's amazing that people come halfway around the world, and I have the pleasure of their company for a day with me. And we take them to the national park, we have lunch, we go to some wonderful views, some lookouts, whatever it may be, and I have a lovely time. However, I also think it's incredibly important to promote countries rather than places and things to do there. Just come. Come to Melbourne, have a look around. If you come to Melbourne, bring your guitar. That's all I say, you know? But no, I'm being a bit flippant. The whole thing about tourism is allowing people to do what they want in another country. It's not about saying to someone, oh, if you don't see Uluru, you haven't been to Australia. What's that mean? What does that mean? And you're lucky because you will see Uluru tomorrow or the day after. But my point is people should just realize that people travel, people circumnavigate the globe, etc., in their travels, and should be allowed to do what they want to do. And if they want to come with you for the day, that's my pleasure.
Well, that's what we're finding is that, of course, it's great to see the animals, it's great to see the sights, but it's really great to meet the people. That's what we're finding out is the best.
That's exactly right. When I was a younger man, I went a bit over the top because I came here as a young man and then travelled up the East Coast and just discovered a sense of freedom that was intoxicating. And I had an old car and I put everything in the back of my car. And for 4 or 5 years, I just drove around Australia. You know, I worked in many bars. Always came in handy when you could fix a railing for a farmer, weld it up, got your dinner, things like this, you know. I couldn't do that now because I'd overthink it. And that's why I'm saying to people, just come here, just do it. Don't think about, I've got to do this, that, the other, this and that. Don't worry about it. I get it, if you come to Melbourne, you maybe want to go see a band or to the art galleries, and that's all astonishing. But Australia is an astonishing place. But one thing I would like to say, if you're coming here and you're having a look around, never lose track of the fact that this is unceded land. People lived here for a long, 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 long time. Not just 200 years.
There we go. That's Gossiping with Graham. I'm Scott Thompson. This is The Morning Mess.